Psalm 143, we'll read this psalm together. And we will take our text from the beginning of the psalm, verse 1 particularly. Psalm 143, the scripture says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant." Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word, for his name's sake. This morning again we are going to consider what I am calling the cause and character of answered prayer. And I want us to notice what we find in the first verse as that which proves our consideration today. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my supplications, in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Before we go further, though, let's just ask the Lord to meet with us and to speak to us from his word today. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that thou wouldst bless our time with the Spirit of God's moving in our hearts. Lord, direct our thoughts, we pray. Lead us to that place where we would find ourselves at the feet of Christ, hearing his voice in the word and finding its effect being done in our hearts. O Lord, deliver us from ourselves today. Deliver us from our unbelief. Deliver us from our self-preoccupation and our self-esteems. O God, we pray that today will be a day in which we might find ourselves believing on the Son of God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, to the glory of God. To this end I pray you'll help me. I pray that you will give the leading of the Holy Ghost, that thought and word would be directed by the Lord himself. Bless us then, meet with us, is our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today I would like to address a subject that is elementary in its nature, but often seems to be beyond the ability of many believers to understand. Now, before I mention the focus of my statement that I just made, I want to say that it is not my intention at all to point out some wanting understanding on the part of anyone. That is the furthest thing from where I want us to come. I will rather say that the reason many have such a difficult time with resting in the comfort of the truth that we will be noticing is that there has been now generations in which the whole starting point for the answer to our subject has been completely off base. With now centuries, I say, of teaching amongst us from those who do not get at the heart of the subject from its proper nature, generations have been left to flounder in the wake of falsehood. I will now clarify what I've been alluding to. Since the early 1800s, there has been a move in this country, a theological move, that centers all doctrine around the notion that in order for man to be what he must be before God, and for God to be fair to all men who are worthy of being fair to, all understanding of truth must begin with man. That, I say, is the supposition. This mindset was the product of rampant flash fire revivalism that took place in many areas of the United States, particularly in the region of Virginia and of Kentucky. The thought was, in those days, to replace the old Calvinism of the Puritans with the new doctrine and methods of the revivalists. The fact, they said, of the truth of what they preached was the results that could be seen in thousands having, and I put quotation marks, experiences, which seemed to prove the soundness of their doctrine. Many of the denominations that adopted the methods of these are those that prove to be lasting, where the denomination of the old roots drifted toward eventual liberalism and apostasy. And I'm just going to throw this in as a by the way. You know, it's interesting today that nobody is judged an apostate in the present church, in this world. Nobody is a liberal anymore. We're all the same. What nonsense. However, I want us to come back to this thought. The man-centered thinking of generations that developed up out of this revivalism has now brought about a confusion and a misunderstanding of monumental proportions on the subject of how men are saved, how men go on with God, and how men are blessed and have their prayers answered. The pervading thought among so many of us is that the Lord deals with us in mercy and blesses us because we have arrived at some point of acceptability to the Lord through our self-denial, our self-chastening, or our self-reform. In other words, we work our way into the favor of God, and He rewards us in keeping with our success. As you have become, so the Lord will bless you. I say that is a mindset that has been presented throughout generations now. And I say this man-centered thinking has become particularly troublesome when we come to the matter of prayer. And I would say to you very bluntly, it has become the conclusion of many that God answers prayer based on the worthiness of the one asking. Though sometimes, in moments of dire need, He answers out of pure mercy, overlooking the character of the petitioner. The scripture that we have before us, that we are taking as our text, presents that the whole of this thinking and practice is wrong. And rather than promoting faith in the heart of God to answer, it rather destroys faith by continually looking at that which is the quickest killer of faith, and that is our own hearts. You look at yourself, you look at your own heart, then when you judge that everything is well and good and acceptable to God, then you end up having a confidence that the Lord will answer prayer. That is wrong thinking. But we have for generations now been brought to this conclusion over and over and over again by the theology and by the practice of many who came out of this movement that I described to you a moment ago. I want us to take the simple message of this text, of our reading in verse 1, and allow it to do its work in our hearts and minds and set us straight about the cause and character of answered prayer. Again, this verse says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications." Now note, "In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." I'm going to set before you this as my proposition. I would suggest to you that the whole reason that prayer is answered lies with the Lord Jesus, period. The whole reason why you have the Lord's ear is because of who the Lord Jesus is and what he does. And so I propose to be very, very simple this morning. I have just two things that I'm going to point out, and it was already suggested to you by my title. I want us to think about the cause of answered prayer, and then I want us to see the character. Let's note first, then, the cause. When the Lord Jesus entered into his hour, the hour in which he would go to the cross, he gave instruction to his disciples about the cause and nature of seeing the answer to prayer. This was particularly connected to the question, as you would read in John chapter 14, it is an implied question, but here's the question nonetheless. The question by the disciples, how are we going to see the power of God to do what we are being told that the Lord wants us to do in his service? How are we going to know how to go on with God? How are we going to know how to do the will of God? How are we going to be able to see the power of God upon us? That is the implied question in John 14 that the Lord speaks to when he offers these words, John 14, 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do." Well, there's the point. The question would be in the mind of the disciples, how is that going to be? Well, he continues, "Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." He presents this to the disciples. How is it that you're going to know the power of God to do the things that are greater than the works that the Lord Jesus has done? It's because there's something that the Lord Jesus is going to be doing. There is something that the Lord Jesus is going to be presenting. He will bring the matter of their need before the Father, and it will be done. Now, these words and this thought, this incident that we are alluding to in John 14, is to be noted for the disciples also had earlier approached the Lord and asked if he would teach them how to pray. You remember that, I'm sure. And then the Lord offers what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. I will suggest to you that the disciples did not ask the Lord to teach them to pray because they had no concept of what prayer was. No, they knew what prayer was. They had seen for generations now how prayer was made to God. They knew what prayer was, so what would they be possibly asking? I think it was more that they asked because there was a need to understand how and what should we pray that we will see the Father answer us and do what is needed to help us. Lord, you teach us how we can pray to see prayers answered. Not just to pray rote prayers or prayers that we have had prescribed to us through generations that we are to pray. How do we really pray to see the power of God? The Lord Jesus was careful to answer his disciples by pointing them away from themselves and their self-worth. Oh, understand, it cannot be otherwise. But that the Lord was allowing his answers to have an echo of the message that he gave to so many who asked for his help. The Lord Jesus was stressing to his disciples this: do you really want to know how it is that you are to pray to see the answer to prayer? It comes back again, not to yourselves, but it comes back to what I have said now since I have walked among you. You say, well, what is that? Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Lord Jesus is putting it in these terms. If you're going to see the answer to prayer, there's a requirement of faith. But the faith that the Lord Jesus calls for was not just a positive mindset that the Lord is able and willing to help. Rather, what the Lord was calling for, even in those words that he offered to that man who stood before him at the base of Mount Tabor, was for a consideration and esteeming of him as the Son of God, and a resting in the fact of his being true and right in all his ways. If thou canst believe, believe what? If thou canst believe, not just if you have the capacity for faith, but if you believe that I am the one who is sent by the Father to do a work amongst men that is true and righteous altogether, if you have faith in me, all things are possible. Or in other words, answered prayer hinges on your believing and esteeming me. Perhaps the last phrase that I mentioned, his being true and right in all his ways, has the echo of our text to it. Oh, understand this. Faith is not something of a feeling that lies within, but rather a confidence in what stands without the heart. I'm not confident about what I see inside. My confidence lies outside of myself. It lies in the person of the Lord Jesus. Let me just give you another who speaks to this. You know these words. In fact, there's a hymn that we have that has these words. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. What's the subject or the object of faith in all of that? Oh, it's I feel that I have come to the place where God ought to bless me because I have arrived at some spiritual pinnacle. Is that what that has? No. I look outside myself and I esteem the one in whom I believe. I know him. I know who he is. I know what he is. And so my first point that I would have under this heading is this: prayer is answered because of the character of our Savior. There it is. There's the lesson. Prayer is answered not because of what we find in ourselves, even though we for generations now have had preached to us that everything depends on us and how much faith we can crank up within ourselves. prayer and answered prayer is determined because of the character of our Savior. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And I say, here is the most simple and elementary of points that ever a saint should hold as a point of thinking. And I conclude that a point of thinking over every issue. Do you understand? This is Christianity 101. This is beginning of understanding. When you understand that all of God's answering prayer is because of the faithfulness of Christ, it puts you in a place where you begin to understand a whole lot of other things where faith is required. Oh, I say, we are those who are confident of having the answer to prayer because the Lord Jesus is faithful and righteous. Now, to understand more fully the point that I'm trying to make, let's examine those two words. It says, in thy faithfulness. Well, what does that mean? What is faithfulness in regard to the Lord's faithfulness? What does that entail? What does that revolve around? I say, that is a statement that says that the Lord is faithful to what he has said. And concerning everything that he has said to you as a child of God, he will be found true. He will not set aside his word because of something that he does not like in us. He will not set aside his blessing or his helping of us because he does not find worthiness within us. Let me ask you just a very pointed question. What would be the point at which you would say, I now am worthy of answered prayer? How righteous would you have to be? And I think most of you understand as I'm saying this, you would never come to that point. Exactly. Exactly. The Lord is faithful to what he has said. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we believe not. Now, there shows our shortcoming, doesn't it? If we believe not. In other words, if you're filled with unbelief and all of its ramifications, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Notice that the faithfulness of the Lord is in no way tied to anything outside of himself. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful to his covenant word. That does not change, for he cannot change. He is ever true to his word. But then we'll take a quick look at the word righteousness. Righteousness, not so much tied to what the Lord has said, but righteousness is tied to what the Lord has done. He will be found righteous in all his works amongst us. He is to be found both holy and pure altogether. Why? Why is that how he'll be found? Because this is who he is. It is his character, his holiness, his loving kindness, that is the cause for answered prayer. He will answer because of who he is and what he has said. He answers prayer because of who he is. Perhaps that's the truth behind the writing of that hymn, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. Yes. We esteem him. We look to him. We understand that he is faithful. He is righteous. He will uphold his word, and he will do all things in purity. That is who he is. Therefore, prayers will be answered for us as his people. So again, I underscore, the answering of prayer lies in the character of the Lord Jesus, nowhere else. And that's why he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. In my name. You are pointing away when you pray to me, to my righteousness, to my finished work, to my pure heart. And therefore you shall have what you ask. You're not trusting in yourself. There's another point that we can make under this heading, and that is this, and this is my second one. Prayer is not answered because of the character of man. You see that presented to us very plainly in verse 2, where it says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." I cannot hold my head up to the Lord when it comes to my own righteousness. I can't. Why? Because I am what he is not. I am sinful. He is holy. Now, here's the hard lesson. You and I might find it easy to say amen to what I had said just a moment ago about Christ being the cause of our answered prayer. But here is the hard lesson. We find it so difficult to believe that we are not those who have some sway over the cause of answered prayer. We just can't get that out of our minds. We have to have it as a reason. We cannot let that go. It has to be something to do with me. The Lord answers prayer. It has to have something to do with me. After all, and I put myself as an arguer against myself, after all, does not the verse say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me? Doesn't that prove that we have something to do with it? Let me say this. That verse proves something, all right. But it is not the cause of the Lord answering prayer. Rather, it proves that the Lord sees rebellion in the heart of man, and he will not reward it by giving that man what he wants. There's the point. In this instance, the reason or cause for answered prayer has not changed. But the Lord will prove that true. But there is another work that needs to be done in the heart first. Even though a man may ask for the help of the Lord, if he's regarding iniquity, the Lord needs to deal with that first. And the Lord will wait, and I say without harm, I underscore that, when the Lord waits, it's never to the harming of his people. The Lord will wait until there is a heart being finished with sin before he sets forth his blessing. But note that the Lord is not giving what is wanted. That is not a refusal to help. In fact, the Lord's helping often is through the process of bringing an end to sin. The Lord helps in that way first before he addresses other issues. Oh, child of God, see this. Again, this is a very elementary point. But one that we wrestle so much against, we cannot get it out of our heads. We will not get it out of our heads. We refuse to get it out of our heads. But prayers are answered because the Lord Jesus is faithful and righteous, not because I come to a place where I am worthy of answered prayer. That'll never happen. Or as Paul said to the Thessalonians, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. He is faithful to his covenant. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to those that he has taken to himself as his people. He is faithful. Therefore, he will do what is required and needful that these people may go on with God. And you too. And so I say it is helpful to consider the nature of answered prayer as well as the cause. And to that end, for that reason, We're coming now to my second thought, and that is I want us to see the character of answered prayer. And I want to answer the question, what does answered prayer look like and how is it to be esteemed? What does answered prayer look like? Well, let me just throw this out as a note before we answer that. Understand this, God does not need for men to try to prove an answer to prayer by pointing out the facets of it. Oh, we're so afraid that we'll be denying the existence of the answer to prayer. So here we're going to take something that we can see as might be an answer to prayer, and we're going to try to enhance it by talking about it. God doesn't need that. God does not need your witness to prove his answers to prayer. He will glorify himself. He does not need us to do so. But having said that, again, let us ask, how do we tell whether a prayer is answered? What is its character? Well, my first thought in response to that question is this. Answered prayer is not determined by the judgment of man. Answered prayer is not determined by the judgment of man. If the Lord answers prayer in faithfulness and righteousness, then there is no need for men to judge the answer as an answer indeed. Why? Why is it that man really cannot judge what is answered prayer and what is not? The answer to that is simply this. Man cannot understand the fullness of God's answer. You don't understand what God is doing when he answers your prayer. It goes beyond you. You cannot know, child of God, how an answer for you reaches out to others, or how that answer impacts the gospel. I would tell you that the dispensing of God's grace to you is not a dispensing to you alone. When the Lord answers a prayer, it is not an answer that affects just you only. You say, well, wait a minute. I had this prayer for something that was a deep heart need that I was the only one who ever knew about it. Is there a change that comes to your heart if the Lord meets that request and answers that personal heart need? Does it show itself in the need that somebody else may have for your kindness and support, or perhaps giving a word of testimony? Is there something that goes beyond you when the Lord answers prayer? And the answer is yes. When the Lord answers prayer, there's a much larger picture to it than just you getting this simple little thing that perhaps you've asked for. Beyond that, I will say this. The way of men judging the answer to prayer is often completely mixed with selfish desires and motives, so that they are not able to discern what the real answer is. Men often have in their minds the end that they want from the hand of God. And if the Lord does answer, but not in line with what their preconceived notion is, then they declare that God has not answered prayer. If he'd answered prayer, then we would have seen this. Well, who made you the ruler that could define what answered prayer was? Who are you to lift up your thoughts before God and say, what you have done is not perfect because I look at this and say, this is what has to be? Who made you God? And I say very plainly, there will be many times that you will ask the Lord to help, and he will do so, yet in a way that is not at all in line with what you ask. And I add this, to your relief. And I ask some of you who have walked with the Lord for a while, you ever asked the Lord to do something particular? And the Lord answered that prayer, but he answered it in a way that was not at all the way you were looking for. And at the end of it all, you step back and say, thank you, Lord. I am glad you didn't give me what I asked, because that would have been a disaster. I'm thankful that you did what you did in the way that you did, because I would have made a mess out of everything. There's not one of us in this room that has not had that experience, whether we remember it or not. answered prayer is not defined or determined by the judgment of man. Understand that. That's part of its character. It is God at work, not God at work by the definition of man. Second, I would say this about the character of answered prayer. Answered prayer exalts the purpose of God. Answered prayer always exalts the purpose of God. Remember, when the Lord Jesus told his disciples that they were to pray, in whose name were they to pray? They were to pray in Jesus' name. And I say to you this, it is the prayer that is asked in Jesus' name that is answered of the Father. What does that teach? Well, it teaches this. Number one, as we have noted already, it speaks of the Lord Jesus as the cause and the doer of prayers that are answered. He is the cause. He is the one. We pray in His name because He is the doer. That is being taught here. But also, secondly, it shows that the Father will only answer prayer in a way that advances the cause of Christ or prepares His bride for glory. I can't believe the Lord didn't give me what I wanted, someone may say. My question on that is, was it in line with the gospel? Or did it make you more like Christ? Oftentimes we don't get what we ask for because it does not make us more like Christ. It is not in line with the purposes of God. And you say, well, that sounds like we're asking for things for just sinful and selfish reasons. No, I'm not saying that. And I'll give you an illustration of why I'm not saying that. Do you remember Paul's testimony to the Corinthians? He asked for relief from his thorn in the flesh. In fact, he asked for it 3 times. But the Lord did not give him his request. Why? Here is Paul. Now, you think about it realistically. If we were taking it back in our old way of thinking, that God answers because of the character and the faithfulness and the understanding of His servant, wouldn't you think that when Paul, an apostle, asked the Lord to do something, then according to the old way of thinking, that would have sealed it? That here's the answer to prayer, because Paul deserved it. But he didn't get it. So what do you say? It was not in line with the purpose of God. There was much more that Paul, by the mercies of God, was to learn about the Lord Jesus that only his suffering would teach him. The Lord had a purpose. He wanted Paul to grow in his knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He wanted Paul to be a man that had the effects of grace at work in him. And so Paul's comment on the whole, and this is what I stress to you. This is Paul's testimony about not having prayer answered the way he wanted it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's Paul's testimony. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How are you to look at the requests that you have made to God? Here's the lesson. Do they advance the purpose of God? Do they exalt the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Are these things that I ask from God helping me to be made more like Christ and being prepared as His bride to be with Him? If the Lord says no, then there's a reason, because there's something in what we're asking that is not in line with what the will of God is and the purpose of God. Does not James deal with that? You ask and have not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. Now, we tend to take that word lust as being something that is a carnal, fleshly thing. Well, it can be. But it can also mean, I want this. I want this. Where my desire, my want, my wish for the end is more important to me than the mind and will of God. The Lord says, don't think that you're going to get this. Because God answers prayer in line with his purposes and the glory of Christ and the preparation of you for Christ. That's how he answers prayer. And then I will point this out as my last thought. Answered prayer always evidences the goodness of God. Answered prayer evidences the goodness of God. The honest assessment of answered prayers of the Lord is that they are completely in keeping with his character. In other words, as the psalmist says, they are good and righteous altogether. They cannot be otherwise. When do men judge God's answer as insufficient or bad? When do you say, the Lord didn't do right when he didn't answer me as I wanted? When do men say such things? I will say it is when they have either insufficient faith or are bad in their hearts because of sin. The Lord answers and it shows his goodness. Well, why? Why must they be good? Why are the Lord's answers always good? Because, child of God, understand this. When the Lord answers prayer for you, he doesn't ever only just answer prayer for you, but he answers prayer also for the Lord Jesus. We have an intercessor. We have one who is at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. When we ask in Jesus' name, we are asking God along with the Lord Jesus. And so when the Lord answers prayer for us, he is also at the same time answering prayer for the Lord Jesus. Will the Father give anything to Christ that is not good and holy and wonderful altogether? Well, I think you know the answer to that. And you and I can turn to Revelation chapter 5 and we can see how the Lord Jesus is being seen in the courts of heaven right now. They're glorying over the Lamb that was slain. And they're proclaiming he is worthy to receive. Oh, wait a minute. Receive. That sounds like someone giving to him. Yes, he is worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing and power. It almost sounds as if he were to ask anything before the Father, that the Father would give it to him, that there would be to Christ given that which rejoices his heart. Exactly! All the answers of prayer to us as those who are in union with Christ will always be in connection with Christ receiving his worthy reward. Never different. So again, if there's a time you come before the Lord and there doesn't seem to be the answer to prayer, there might be a cause for us to take a step back and say, was this really in line with the glory of Christ, the advancement of his kingdom, and the preparing of my heart to be presented to him, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? I say this is an elementary point, one that perhaps generations prior to the revivalist movement knew, but has changed as man has become the center of everything, that we are those around whom everything revolves. It is for our reasoning and our good. No, sir. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. The Lord answers because of his character. What do we have in our hearts that we need to see the Lord do? What do we need to lift before the Lord today? What work do we need to see the Lord do? What prayers have you even answered or asked of the Lord even this very day? What is your confidence that the Lord will answer that prayer? Again, I say, if it is because our minds and hearts go back to what we have been taught for generations, I say you have no confidence there. But if your confidence is because Jesus is worthy, and I ask in his name and for his sake and because of his faithfulness and righteousness, I expect to see an answer to prayer. There is the place where faith can rest. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word, the preaching of it this morning, for his name's sake. Let's all now turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are glad again to be able to have looked into the word of God. It is our prayer this day that you will then undertake for us that we would be a people whose confidence is all in the Lord Jesus. And we would be those who would repudiate looking at ourselves and resting in how well we do as the reason for you to answer prayer. Oh God, we pray then that thou wilt also this day, for Jesus' sake, cause us to fear our God, to love thee, to walk before thee as we continue through this day. And Lord, we pray again that thou remember those who need thee most, that you would come alongside and again show yourself to be the loving and faithful one. And these things we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.